Please turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let us read in unison, shall we? Verse 17 through verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, verse 20, and the title for the sermon this morning is Jesus and the Law. Jesus and the Lord. Let us read Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20. Together. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is Jesus all love and no law? There are those who say that in this New Testament period, it is a period of love. Jesus came to bring grace and love. The Old Testament period or the Old Testament dispensation was a time of law, but now we are no longer under the law. This dispensation is a dispensation of grace, not of law. And Jesus taught us to love. And that is the emphasis today. And then they misquote John chapter 1 verse 17, which says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament is all about law. We are no longer in the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. The New Testament is all about the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. So we don't need the law anymore. We don't need the commandments anymore. We just live according to the love of Jesus Christ. So they divide the law of Christ from the love of Christ. And there are those who even go to the extent of saying, since today we are living in an age of grace and of love, and Jesus has come to bring the love of God, and since grace, when sin abounds, grace did much more abound, so we can really sin all we like. Doesn't matter, because the more we sin, the more God will show grace to us, the more God will forgive us of our sins. So we can sin all we like, and we can sin all we want. Jesus is all about grace and love, and Jesus came sort of to give us a blank check, license to sin. There are those who speak like this, who think like this. Is this true? This is a wrong teaching. This was not what Jesus taught. And we have just read Matthew 5, verse 17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And dare any one of us teach that the law is no longer important, and that we can break the law of God? And since Christ has come to give grace and to forgive us of our sins, therefore we can do what we like, we can break the law, so that God can exercise His grace by forgiving us more and more, and we can sin with sort of impunity? Of course not. Jesus here said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We must teach the law. We must teach people to obey the law. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. But there are those who will accuse of those who are Bible-believing, Bible-defending, Bible-teaching Christians who take seriously the commandments of God. And if we say you must do this and do that, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that according to God's word, oh, you are being legalistic. And they say this in a negative way. You're legalistic, therefore you're really narrow-minded, bigoted. You're not generous enough, you're not gracious, you're unloving. Because you say all these things, and you teach all these things. We are charged with legalism if we teach the law. Of course, there's a sort of legalism that we must avoid. The legalism that comes from the Pharisees, a pharisaical, self-righteous attitude, a censorious, judgmental attitude that is self-righteous, that has an holier-than-thou kind of a spirit and tone. Such things are to be frowned upon. We don't practice the law like this, in a pharisaical way. And that's why Jesus said here also in verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees." The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees are just outward. There's no inward change or regeneration. It's just outward piety without true inward holiness. This kind of outward piety, which is hypocrisy, where you try to show yourself righteous in the outside, but inside full of sin and evil and wickedness and rejection and rebellion against the truth, is something that is unacceptable to God also. It's a hypocritical type of righteousness, a hypocritical keeping of the law, and Jesus preached against this. But there's a type that we need to observe, a godly, a loving keeping of the law. And what is legalism? According to Chambers Dictionary, legalism is defined as a strict adherence to law. So if we accept this definition of legalism, then we find that Jesus was certainly legalistic. Jesus was a legalist. Jesus was very legalistic because he strictly adhered to the law. He did not come to abolish the law, to negate the law, or to dilute the law. He came to uphold the law, to keep the law, to teach the law. And he taught it perfectly. So Jesus was a legalist. How was he a legalist? Jesus was a legalist in these two ways. Firstly, we find that Jesus was a legalist because he kept the law perfectly. He kept the law perfectly. And this we read from verses 17 and 18 of Matthew 5. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, the word law is found throughout the scriptures. In fact, the word law is found no less than 500 times in the Bible. It is an important word. Our God is a God of law. And when the word law is used, sometimes the word law refers to the Ten Commandments. Sometimes the law refers to the Torah, or the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's also called the law. Sometimes the law refers to the whole Old Testament, and the law can also mean the whole Bible itself. Right? And the Bible is really a law book. And our God is a God of law. And the Bible is full of thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Not just only in the Ten Commandments, but also in other parts of the scriptures, there are many of such thou shalt not commandments. And in the Bible, how many of these thou shalt not commandments are there? There are a total of 239 of them. So how can we say that when Jesus came, He came not as a lawgiver or a lawkeeper. He came to do away with the law. And He's trying to teach us that the law is no longer important since right now. It's a time of grace. Surely this time is a time of grace. Yes, God has shown His love for us. But what did the Lord Jesus also say? He says we must love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we love, it is a fulfillment of the law. So the law is not cancelled. The law is not thrown out. Jesus came to teach us how to keep the law and to keep the law rightly, according to His way, which is the way of love. And Jesus showed us the supreme and perfect example. He was a legalist, and He enjoins us also that we must be legalists as well, law keepers and law teachers. So Jesus here kept the law perfectly. And Jesus made it very clear that He did not come to destroy but to fulfill the law. And what does this word mean here when Jesus said, I am not come to destroy? Now the word destroy here is a very strong word of removal. It is used, for instance, in Matthew 24 verse 2 of demolishing a house, right? Destroying and demolishing a house. This word has been used for that. This word has also been used to release a load that is on one's shoulders, right? So Jesus, when He says here, I'm not come to destroy but to fulfill the law, it means that He did not come to negate the law in any way, to remove it or to take it away, to abolish it. He did not come also to dilute the law, to make it lighter, right? Less serious, less important. Jesus says He did not come to destroy the law in any of such ways, but to fulfill. And the word fulfill here in the original has the idea of accomplishment, the idea of achievement. He came to accomplish the law. He came to achieve the law. What does this mean? When Jesus said here that He came to fulfill the law, it means that He's going to accomplish the law and keep the law, obey the law perfectly for you and for me. Of course, Jesus being perfect and holy, He Himself, who is the author of the law, need not keep the law for Himself. Why must He fulfill the law? It is not for His sake. It is for our sake. Because we are unholy. We are lawbreakers. We are sinful. We have broken God's commandments, God's law. And when we have broken God's commandment, there is punishment. There is judgment. And the judgment is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And how can we get out of this death sentence? How can we be saved? How can we live and not die? We are all under the curse of the law. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so how can we be saved? The only way whereby we can be saved is for someone to be our perfect representative to keep the law for us. Adam broke the law in the very beginning. God commanded him, of every tree in the garden thou mayest really eat, but this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Dare we take God's commandment lightly? Adam and Eve did not pay attention to God's commandment, was tempted by the devil, and they fell in sin, breaking God's commandment. And yes, they surely died. They surely died. Sin came in. And we who are children of Adam, we are part of this family, the human race. We all trace our ancestry right back to Adam, and we have inherited the sin of Adam. and the death that comes from the sin that they have committed. So that we are conceived in our mother's womb in sin, and we are born in sin, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you were to ask the question, how then can I enter into heaven? How can I, have fellowship with God? How can I escape from the punishment to come, the judgment to come? Actually, the only way whereby we can get into heaven, according to God's rule and requirement, is that we must be holy as He is holy. We must be perfect as He is perfect. And we must keep the commandments perfectly. If we want to enter into heaven, we must obey God's law 100% perfectly, without any fault. And when God gave the law, God gave the law that we might live. The law was ordained unto life. And if we want to enter into heaven today, that is what we must do. If you turn to Matthew chapter 19, we find here a rich young ruler. Look at Matthew 19, verse 16. And here there's an account of this rich man who came to the Lord Jesus. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And look at what Jesus said to him. Did Jesus say, "Just believe on me and then you can enter into heaven"? The answer of Jesus here, his reply to this rich man was very interesting. And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Of course, Jesus is not denying that he was good. Jesus, of course, is good because Jesus is God himself. But he was answering this rich man according to his thinking. He thought that everyone who does good, all right, just like Jesus, who did a whole lot of good, is good. And he is also good because he has done a lot of good things, good works. And Jesus had to correct his misunderstanding. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, if you want to enter into heaven, you want to have eternal life and live with God forever, what must you do? Keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Keep the commandments. Is Jesus misleading this man? Of course not. Jesus was telling the truth here. You really want to enter into heaven? You keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. You cannot break any of them throughout your life. And then he asked the question, which? And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He says, all these things I've kept from my youth up. In his conceitedness, he said, I have done all these things. I fulfilled all these things since when I was young. Is this a true statement? Well, he has a false view and a false opinion of himself. He thought he was good when he was not good at all. And Jesus had to correct him. What lack I yet? Then Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, if you are to be totally 100% holy and perfect and sinless, if you are really like this, then go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Sell all your worldly possessions, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. And what did the young man do? verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He was not willing to give up all his worldly goods, his worldly possessions, his gold and his silver, his houses and his properties, to give them all up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, and by so doing, actually he had already what? Broken God's commandment. Which commandment? The very first commandment, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this rich young man, who was his God? What was his God? His wealth, his riches. He loved them. He worshipped his wealth and all his possessions. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Either you will love the one or love the other. And by so going away, sorrowing, he showed that he was not perfect at all. He had not kept the law from his youth up. He was born in sin and he grew up in sin. And his pride blinded his eyes to his corrupt nature, that he did not truly love God nor his fellow man. And even the first commandment he had broken, for he worshipped his idol, was his worldly goods and his possessions, his wealth. And he also broke the last commandment, for he coveted after his riches, and all his riches belonged to God. He wouldn't give that up. He coveted his riches. The last commandment, thou shalt not covet, he broke that commandment as well. And all and every commandment in between the first and the last commandment, he was no good at all. He was not perfect. He failed miserably. Yes, if we want to go to heaven, the law was ordained in the life. We must keep the commandments perfectly from day one. And all of us know that we have not done so. We have broken the commandments of God. And when we break one commandment, the Bible tells us we have broken all commandments. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. No one who is good. No, not one. Only God is good. Only Jesus is good. Being both God and man in one person. And that's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus had to be the greater Adam, to keep the Ten Commandments, to keep the law of God for us, to earn the righteousness that we need to enter into heaven. We cannot do it ourselves. We have no strength whatsoever. We are dead in our sins. We have broken God's commandments already. And no matter how much good we do, it's not good enough for God. Not good enough at all. For our goodness, so-called, and our good works are to God as filthy rags, rubbish. And so the Lord Jesus Christ must come. Must come as the greater Adam, being our perfect representative and our substitute. He kept the law of God throughout the 33 and a half years of life when he was on earth, from the time of his birth to the time of his death and resurrection. He kept the law perfectly, the commandments perfectly for you and for me. And no one can accuse the Lord Jesus of sin. Jesus kept the law perfectly. And God the Father also said, you are such a perfectly obedient son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this was said at the beginning of his ministry, at his baptism, and near the end of his ministry at the Mount of Transfiguration. Why did God the Father in heaven say, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Because Jesus Christ was such a perfectly obedient son. He kept the Ten Commandments perfectly. For you, for me. So that when we say, Lord Jesus, save me, the Lord Jesus will clothe on us, put on us, his robe of righteousness, It's not our goodness, our righteousness that will save us. It's the goodness and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are imputed with the righteousness of Christ, clothed with his righteous robe, white and clean. So when the Lord, when God the Father sees us, he does not see our sinfulness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And then receives us to himself. He was the perfect law keeper. Jesus was a legalist. If Jesus was not a legalist, if he did not strictly adhere to the law of God, we will still be in our sins. We will have no salvation. But because he kept the law, fulfilled the law, accomplished the law, achieved the righteousness, the 100% mark that we need to be accepted by God, that's why we can be saved. And that's why Galatians chapter 4, 4-5 tells us, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born or made of a woman, made under the law." Jesus was made under the law. For what purpose? For this purpose, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." To redeem them that were under the law. We are under the law, under the curse of the law. Jesus was made under the law to fulfill the law and to lift that curse, if we will only believe and trust in him. So please understand this. Not only did Jesus save us by keeping the commandments perfectly for us, he as the sinless Lamb of God must fulfill the righteousness of God as well, because God as a just God requires a penalty for sin. And the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Justice must be served. And so we have sinned against God. Who is going to pay that penalty? And if we are going to be saved from our sins and be released from this death penalty, then Jesus must be our perfect substitute. He had to die on the cross on our behalf to appease God's wrath. God is very angry with us. We deserve only death, not just physical death, spiritual death as well, eternal damnation in the lake of fire for eternity. Because when we sin against God, who is an eternal being, the punishment is equal. The justice must be fair, and the justice is eternal punishment and judgment. So who can save us? Only God can save us. And God, by his love, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be a perfect man, to be our substitute, to be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, because Jesus must fulfill the justice of God and pay the price of our sin. Not his sin, it's our sin. And he bore our sin on the cross. And in Hebrews 9:22 we are told, "And almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." According to God's law, there must be the shedding of blood. Not any blood, only this unique and particular blood. The blood of the God-man. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Son of God who became the Son of Man. And the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross to save us from our sins, that we might have forgiveness. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 56 and 57, it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus proved he was truly the Son of God, God himself, by being raised from the dead. The law keeper is the law, is the life giver. Is the life giver. He is the resurrection and the life. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved from our sins. He has done a perfect job. Mission accomplished. He has fulfilled the law and the prophets. He kept the commandments perfectly for us. And he fulfilled the justice of God, by appeasing the wrath of God, dying for us on the cross as our sacrifice, making atonement for our sins so that we can be forgiven of our sins and be made righteous before God. So Jesus was a legalist. He adhered strictly to the law by being the perfect law keeper. And Jesus was also a legalist because he was a perfect law teacher. He taught the law perfectly. In Matthew 5, verse 19, verse 20, we have read, have we not? Jesus said, Jesus have no tolerance of those who would teach the law wrongly, or teach people to break the commandments of God. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was the perfect law teacher. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not being free and easy. It's not about being free and easy. It's not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then we can sin all we like. Yes, although the gift of eternal life is free, it's free of charge. Nothing we do, nothing we give can ever gain for us eternal life. It's a free gift, totally free gift of God. For we are told in Ephesians 2 verse 7, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Free gift, total, complete gift, without charge. And yes, the gift of eternal life is such that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But at the same time, he also told to obey God's commandments. Nowhere do we find the scriptures that Jesus Christ tells us we can disobey God's commandments. Nowhere. Yes, Jesus talked a whole lot about love. And then he defined what love is all about. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love and law go together. They are two sides of the same coin. We cannot love without the law, and without the law, we don't know how to love. They are together. They are twin doctrines, so to speak. And the Bible contains plenty of rules and regulations. Thou shalt not, as I have said earlier, 239 of them. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we not love the Lord? I'm sure all of us are here because we love the Lord. We want to worship the Lord. And if we love the Lord, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Jesus was a legalist. He wants us to strictly adhere to the law also. But in those days, in the days of Christ, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes taught the law wrongly to the people. They applied the law in an ungodly way. And Jesus warned them and warns us as well, we must not teach people to break the law. For those who break the law and teach others to break the law are unworthy and are worthless. And Jesus said, for I say unto you, if I accept your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness must not just be a mask, not just be on the outside. It must stem from within us. And in those days, the scribes and the Pharisees displayed and taught a hypocritical type of love and the keeping of the law. For instance, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, You know, the Pharisees taught wrongly in those days with regard to the law. They say, oh God, the Bible tells us that we love our friends and hate our enemies. And our friends are our fellow Jews. The Gentiles, we hate them. God also does not love them. And the Gentiles are only fit as fuel for the fires of hell. They will not be found in heaven at all. So there was this teaching that we only love our neighbor, our neighbors are our friends, and those who are not our friends, our enemies, we hate them. It's in Matthew chapter 5, right? And we read further down in verse 42 to verse 45. All right, verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, this is the teaching of these false teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees. It's not the teaching of Jesus nor of God in the Old Testament. Nowhere do we find this being taught in the scriptures. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and loving thy neighbor means you hate your enemy. What did Jesus say? But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So love your enemies, Jesus said. Did Jesus contradict the Old Testament? No, not at all. Jesus affirm the right teaching of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament also taught you love your neighbor, and your neighbor does not only mean your friends, it includes your enemies. And Jesus came to correct all these false teachings and then to teach the law perfectly, affirming what was already taught by the God of the Old Testament. Already taught in the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. How do we know this? How do we know that in the Old Testament the law teaches that we ought to love our enemies as well? Now, go back to the Old Testament. You turn to Exodus 23. Exodus chapter 23. And you tell me whether is this not a law of love? Loving not just our friends, but love our enemies, right? And our neighbors include our enemies. Look at Exodus 23, verse 4. Here it says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely, what? Bring it back to him again, all right? You see your enemy's ox straying away. Oh, my enemy's ox, very good. All right, let his ox be lost. Let him, you know, suffer loss of all these things. No, it doesn't say this. It tells us that even if our enemy in the state of trouble, we are to help them. Thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. You must help. You must love your enemy. This is the teaching of the Old Testament. Bible doesn't teach hate our enemies. The false teachers, the Pharisees and the scribes taught this. Not Jesus, not the God of the Old Testament either. Let's look at another one. You turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18. And says here, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So take note, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Okay? That is showing love to our enemies. We must have such loving feelings, right, and attitudes, even towards our enemies. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 21. And here it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So the Old Testament law is very clear. Love thy neighbor, and thy neighbor includes thy enemies, right? If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. That is the way of God, the God of the Bible. That's the way of Christ. Like the fireman. The fireman doesn't fight fire with fire. He fights fire with water. So we fight evil with what? We fight evil with good. We fight hatred with the love of Christ. And the love of Christ involves the fulfilling of the law, obeying God's law, obeying God's commandments. And as Christians, we must be not only loving, we must be legalistic. It's a good term, understood rightly. We must adhere strictly to God's law. For Jesus kept the law perfectly for our sakes, to save us from our sins, and then he taught us to keep the law as well. And of course, we can only keep the law, we can only have the strength, we can have the strength to keep the law only if we are born again. We have the life of Christ in us, we have the power of God by His Spirit in us. Then we can also keep the law and obey the law, fulfill the law, which will be pleasing, it will be pleasing God's sight, and we will be rewarded by the Lord in the day of Christ. So may the Lord help us. Jesus was a true legalist. He was the perfect lawgiver, lawkeeper, and law teacher. And may we follow his supreme and perfect example. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this truth you have taught us. We thank thee that thou art a God of love, perfect love. And we are thankful and we praise thee. We acknowledge that thou art a God of law as well. And you have given to us thy perfect law, even the Holy Scriptures, full of goodness. And we know that the keeping of thy laws will bring us spiritual health and wealth. And we know that thy laws are good for us. So Lord, help us to walk by thy Spirit and to fulfill the law in our lives by being faithful law keepers and law teachers. So help us, Lord. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who is our captain, our leader, our Savior. And we know that he will be with us always, present with us to lead and guide us, to teach us his way as we walk with him in the narrow way that leads to life. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.